Let us quickly move on to our Bible study. This time it has to be right somehow. You know what I mean. The salvation that has been given to us must no longer waver and falter. It must become a certainty for us. It must be a part of us. It is not a redemption that has passed us by. We are the redeemed. We have experienced it. And that is why we can thank the Lord for it. I would like to read from Hebrews 12, verse 22. Hebrews 12, 22 to 24. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. I am particularly concerned here with the thought of the firstborn. God has made certain decisions, and we must not ask why He made them. But we are very satisfied with them and know that He knows what He is doing. From the beginning, He has placed a very special blessing on the firstborn. And we should realize that as the firstborn, we are blessed by God. Sometimes people are blessed without even knowing it. I would like to read from Exodus 13. Exodus 13, verses 2 and verse 12. Exodus 13, verses 2 and 12. Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel.
Verse 12.
That thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix. We will see how God blessed the firstborn. And then we will move on to the New Testament. From Genesis 25, Genesis 25, I would like to read verse 31. Genesis 25, verse 31. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. The birthright was connected with inheritance and blessing. And I believe that when we read that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, there are many scriptures to this subject. Then we should have a biblical foundation and know why this is so. Quite simply, because God has ordained it so. Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, verses 22 and 23. Exodus 4, 22 and 23. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. God made a choice. First he took a man named Abraham. Then came Isaac and Jacob. Then came the 12 tribes. Then came the people of Israel. Then came the covenant. Then came the promises. God simply planned it that way and acted accordingly. But he placed a very special blessing on the birthright. Even Abel was the first to offer a sacrifice to the Lord from the firstborn of the flock. Let us read Psalm 89, the promise in the Old Testament that our Lord would be the firstborn among many brethren. Psalm 89, verse 28. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. We have repeatedly emphasized here in our preaching that everything we were to become, he had to be first. We could never have become sons and daughters of God if he had not been the Son of God. We could never be a people of priests if he had not become the high priest. We could not be kings if he were not king. Only what he is can be made of us, and that is what we can become. The same applies to the firstborn. He was the firstborn, and we are the firstborn. In Luke 2:23, we find the following text. Luke 2, verse 23. I hope that we will also take such a Bible study to heart, delve into it, grasp its divine meaning, and be blessed. Luke 2, verse 23. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Here Jesus was brought to the temple, so it was, and consecrated to God. You all know the difference between becoming man and remaining God. Heaven was not empty when the Lord was on earth. When our Lord prayed as the Son of Man, our Father who art in heaven, then the Father was in heaven. Likewise, the Father was in the Son. For Jesus says in John 14, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. You all know the scriptures. The same Father who was in Christ, the same Father can be in heaven and on earth at the same time, because he is Spirit. Jesus was earthly in this body, either in Jerusalem or Samaria. He could not be omnipresent. He was where he was. But as Spirit, God is omnipresent, as already mentioned, in heaven and on earth. Every firstborn shall be consecrated to me. It is a law of God, a decision of God, that the consecration and blessing rests on the birthright. Romans 8, verse 29, a word we all know very well. Romans 8, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. The firstborn among many brethren. That is why Jesus said, after his resurrection, go and tell my brothers. He used this word in this way. And when he says here in John 20, verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Just as the Son of God was born of God through the Spirit, so we, as sons and daughters of God, are born again of the same Spirit unto a living hope. There is only one Father, and he is in heaven, and he is the Father of all who are called children. The beautiful thing is that we can take every scripture as it was left to us and believe it. There is a Jesus-only movement which would have to skirt around such scriptures. And that is what they do. Those who believe in the Trinity avoid the scriptures that do not fit into their concept. And those who believe in Jesus only avoid other scriptures. It is wonderful when we can sincerely say that we do not avoid a single scripture, not one. On the contrary, we rejoice in every scripture. Imagine if this scripture did not exist. Go and tell my brothers, I ascend unto my Father and your Father. How should we pray? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Do you all believe this? From the same essence, from the same Spirit, just as we all come from Adam and Eve on earth, we can stand on our heads or not. That is now the law of God. So we come spiritually after the second Adam, after Jesus Christ, our Lord, and are already sons and daughters of God. And when perfection comes, we will be like the Lord. There is a word in Hebrews. It must be Hebrews 2. Hebrews chapter 2, where something is also said in this regard. Hebrews 2, verses 10 and 11. Hebrews 2, verses 10 and 11. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. Do you notice? Past tense. Had brought to glory. to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both, he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one Father. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Shall I continue reading? All right. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, not to the others, only those who have truly become sons and daughters of God, receive and accept the revelation of the name of Jesus Christ. All others puzzle and guess. It must be done through the Spirit. And if we are born of the same Spirit, then Paul writes to the Corinthians, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. But if the Spirit cannot search, if he cannot reveal it to you, if you have not become partaker of the Spirit and of the life and nature of God, then you grope your way and the revelation does not come. But thanks be to the Lord. The blessing rests on the firstborn. They are known by the Lord and they know him. I will read a little further. You can look up the scriptures yourselves in the Old Testament, Psalm 22, 23, and so on. But I will read verses 12 and 13 again, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Jesus said, go and tell my brethren. Here we are told, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Ask all the great preachers today what the Father's name is. They will say again and again, Father. But we all know that Father is not a name. How many fathers are here today? But none of us is called Father. This is about the name. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Tomorrow we will come back to the name in connection with baptism. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. All of these are quotations from the Old Testament. For me, and I believe for all of us, something truly wonderful. God brought forth after his kind. And as I say again and again, he made the beginning of this divine creation in Jesus Christ. And that means Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, I think. Revelation 3. No, it's the very first verse. Revelation 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Not the beginning of the creation of the world, of heaven and earth, of the universe. The beginning of the creation of God. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. The beginning of a second creation. And as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive again. He has taken away the power of death. But this is really about more than just believing a little. It is about recognizing and experiencing that God has a first fruits. Many are called, but few are chosen. The chosen ones form the bride church of the Lord and will share in the first resurrection. The others will only come to the final judgment after the 1,000 years and will have to receive their judgment there. I would like to read a little further here, referring to Hebrews 2, verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one Father. See also John 17:19, also a well-known scripture. John 17, verse 19. And for their sakes I sanctify myself. Could you have sanctified yourself? Could I have sanctified myself? I have already told you about this here. I was once sitting in an aeroplane, and there were 3 seats. One was free, but a nun was sitting by the window. She was probably afraid. And before the aeroplane took off, before it started moving a little, she crossed herself. And of course, I immediately asked, or rather had to ask, what she had done. And then she said she had blessed herself. And that gave me a direct connection. And I said, I can't do that. I need God's blessing. My own blessing would not be enough for me. And we got into a conversation. But now to this topic. If you or I had helped, saved, blessed, sanctified, what could we have done? Nothing. And to this day, it is all the work of God, from beginning to end. And this work has been done with us and on us. And we are glad about that. We are grateful for it. John 17, verse 19 again. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Everything comes from God. We brought nothing with us, but we take with us everything He has given us. Even when we leave this earth, everything that is of earthly origin remains behind. But what we have received from God, we take with us. I would like to read 1 Peter. I believe it is 1 Peter 1. One verse further on, as we read this morning. 1 Peter 1. Yes, verse 18. 1 Peter 1. My glasses are fogging up, so I can't see anything myself. Perhaps I'll read without them. That works too, seriously. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I was actually looking for another scripture. Perhaps it is. Yes, I'd better remember these scriptures. Oh yes, here, I'm looking at it. Verse 14, sorry. 1 Peter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. This consecration, this devotion, and truly coming into agreement with the Word, and then being sanctified by the Spirit of God in this divine truth, namely, in complete agreement with what God demands of us in His Word, not your own concept with a self-made piety and holiness, but what does this word mean? Set apart, consecrated to God, created by God for a very specific purpose. We too have been set apart, consecrated to God, brought into agreement with Him through His Word, in order to come into this divine harmony, into conformity with God. And this only happens when the last contradiction is given up and we agree with every word of God, submit ourselves to it, accept it as true and right for us, give up all inner resistance and truly submit ourselves as God wants us to. At some point, recently, a few hours ago, a lady, perhaps a sister, yes, that is a better way to put it, she said something about the relationship between men and women. She simply wanted to assert that she would no longer be oppressed or patronized. And on this point too, there is a divine order that must be observed. One cannot delete 1 Corinthians 11 from the Bible. The head of Christ is God. The head of the man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. We can read this in 1 Corinthians 11. We must say yes to every word of God. We must agree with it with a joyful heart, not with reluctance and resistance, saying, no, that doesn't suit me. God does not change His Word. It is we who must face the Word, and then everything will be fine. Then the consecration can take place, the devotion and divine life can begin. Beloved, it must come to pass that we as believers can also become a blessing at some point, that our tongue is circumcised, that we only say what is a blessing to others, what serves to edify and helps others to walk the path of the Lord better. That we take everything that could destroy, hinder, or somehow trigger something, that we take it with us to the grave and do not become a stumbling block to anyone, whether in words or deeds. May God help us and be with us. There are also two scriptures. Woe to him through whom offense cometh. Matthew 18, we all know the scripture. And then the words of Paul. He that walks in the light stumbles not. He does not fall over the obstacle. He either climbs over it or walks around it. But when the sun is shining, when it is daytime, we can see where we are going. You would have to be a bit stupid or have your eyes closed. But I have really seen people fall asleep while walking. Most people fall asleep while sitting, really during a sermon, of course. But it can happen. Brother Russ says, quite often, But no one needs to fall asleep while walking. And if we are alert, and if we pray, and walk in the light, as He is in the light, then we will not stumble, then we will not get caught up in things. Tonight we will see how serious the time has become, how far it has advanced, and we must take note and take to heart that God demands complete devotion, and that is now, today, not tomorrow, and not next year, today, in this place. God demands complete devotion, a consecration of the whole person as you are. So consecrate yourself to the Lord, so that we may serve Him and be available to Him. From 2 Thessalonians 2, I would like to read verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. As far as this divine sanctification is concerned, we must also take it to heart, and it is important that we see it from a divine perspective. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. There is no other sanctification than that in truth. And before we can be sanctified in this divine truth of the Word, we must believe what God has said. We must take God's side, leave our own opinions behind, and simply accept and affirm the whole of Scripture. I will read it again. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation, not decided a few years ago. From the beginning, God predestined us before anything came to be. From the beginning, God predestined us to be saved. And when the time was fulfilled, He gave us salvation. And when our time came, we were able to accept God's salvation by grace. And today, we can joyfully testify that He has saved us, redeemed us, called us by name, and that we may be His own, chosen from the beginning for salvation, through sanctification, wrought by the Spirit, through faith in the truth. Who would like to be sanctified in this way? The Bible speaks very seriously and says, without holiness, no one will see God. But please, not self-made holiness, but holiness wrought by the Spirit, combined with faith in the truth. That divine substance permeates you and me here, and not your and my patchwork found somewhere. Just as salvation comes from God, so does sanctification come from God. Just as we have received and experienced salvation, so we receive and experience sanctification in divine truth. I would like to read 1 Thessalonians 5 on this subject. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, verse 24 also belongs here. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. He will do it. He is faithful. The witness in the cloud is faithful. So it is written. He is the faithful witness. He remains faithful. Even if anyone becomes unfaithful, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself or those who have come forth from him. They are an integral part of the house of God, of the family of God. Sons and daughters of God can never be dissolved. They are there and they remain for eternity. Who writes about the others? One of the minor writers of the Old Testament writes, "Man without God is like cattle." The Jehovah's Witnesses have taken this scripture to say that man is like cattle. They have not read it properly. They only need to read what is written there. Man without God. Have you understood? What is man without God? What future, what hope does he have? None. Only those who have eternal life can live forever. And those who do not have eternal life cannot live forever. And only God has eternal life. And life has been revealed in Christ. And those who have Christ have eternal life. And those who do not have him do not have life. He came to give us life, and that we have it more abundantly. Here we have this concept in connection with the return of the Lord. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body, the whole man, spirit, soul, and body, be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Hebrews 10, verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It has been done. Just as one must accept redemption and then live as a redeemed person by the grace of God, so one must accept sanctification as a gift from God and lead a life consecrated to God. Nothing will come from anywhere else. It has already been given to us, and the Lord wants it to be revealed in our lives. I will read this verse again, and perhaps one should read from verse 6 in Hebrews 10, from verse 6. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. I come to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering, and burnt offerings, and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. I come to do thy will. And now comes verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Sanctified once for all. I do not know what else to say here. We have no choice but to place ourselves entirely at the Lord's disposal. We see that everything happened on Golgotha and was prepared for us. Our own works have no place here, and works of faith are something completely different. This is about the execution, the realization of the work of redemption that God accomplished in Christ on Golgotha, that it may be carried out in us to its ultimate consequence, to its completion through the power of God by grace. Our Lord said, Not my will, but yours be done. He also did this as a human being, as the Son of Man. Look, he had to be human in order to represent human beings before God, to take their place, to take their position. It had to be that way. There are people who take offense at this or that scripture. I take my cue from all scriptures. I take no offense anywhere. No one will take offense at any scripture if they have divine light on that scripture. If they do not have divine light, then they are in darkness and do not understand what they are reading. At that time, Philip asked the eunuch, Do you understand what you are reading? And he said, How can I understand unless someone guides me? Thanks be to the Lord that he sent his servants at all times, upon whom the anointing of the Holy Spirit rested, men who through divine revelation had insight into the secret counsel of God. None of them brought it with them. If you had asked Paul, What did you know of all the revelations you shared with us? He would have said, Dear brothers, do you not know that I sat at the feet of Gamaliel during the time when these things were happening? And I knew nothing of all these things that are now known to me. Nor did he who taught me, Gamaliel. But then it was given to him. Was it his merit? Did it happen for his sake? What does Peter write? These men served us. God used them so that the whole counsel of the Most High could be proclaimed to the church. Peter did not serve himself. Paul did not serve himself. And what did our Lord say about himself? The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Of course, they mocked him on the cross and said, He helped others, but he cannot help himself. He came for our sake. Do you see what this is about? Let me read Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, from verse 4, perhaps the second part of verse 4, to verse 6. Revelation 1, 4b to 6. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Once again, we see a finished work before us. We will not first become kings and priests. We already are. We already are. We will not first be redeemed. We are redeemed. We will not become God's children. We already are. It is finished. It has been done. He, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and redeemed us from our sins by his blood. Just say amen to it, because it's true. It's true. He redeemed us from our sins through his blood and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What wonderful words. Let us summarize. God's blessing rests on the birthright. Jacob wanted it. Inheritance and blessing are very close related. Christ, the firstborn among many brethren. As we read in Hebrews, we come to the church of just men made perfect, to those who are written in heaven, not in a church register somewhere on earth, but in the heavenly records, our names are written. My name and your name are written there by grace. Do you believe it? I believe it. I believe it. I have good news for you. It will not be erased. It will remain there. And all those whom the Lord has called, as we have read in Romans 8, he has also justified. And to those whom he has justified, them he also glorified. And they will be conformed to the image of his Son. I want to tell you one thing. Only what we can believe will happen to us. Did you hear that? If you cannot believe all that God has promised, but stop somewhere, that is where you will remain. God can only go with us as far as we can follow his word in agreement in faith. God cannot go beyond that. You know why? Because he needs our agreement. It happens according to our faith, as the song goes. If a person does not believe in the new birth, he can never experience it. If they do not believe in conversion, they can never experience it. If they do not believe in the baptism of the Spirit, they can never experience it. If they do not believe in the rapture, they can never experience it. We must believe biblically in order to experience all that has been promised in the Bible. Have we understood that? Let us give this faith free rein and simply say, Lord, Forgive our foolishness. If we have somehow offended you or hurt you through our unbelief, forgive us. See, faith is not directed at us. We do not believe in ourselves. We believe in the one who gave the promises and fulfilled them. According to the scripture, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can truly trust him. He has already done everything well on his part. And if we can now believe that we too are already perfect as far as he is concerned, in his eyes we are redeemed, sanctified, purified, perfect, without spot or wrinkle, in his presence. Let's just let everything happen to us to achieve this goal. For we need these experiences with God. The biblical truths we proclaim must become experiences for all of us. And then we will feel a little better. Who has already experienced the Lord? Amen. Amen. And I have good news. We have tasted how gracious the Lord is. But that was only a taste, only a sampling. Now we will enjoy to the fullest that the Lord is gracious, that he is faithful, that he is true, that he is almighty, that he is present. Yes, that he is everything and will remedy every deficiency. And his people will have gifts in abundance. And the day must come when Isaiah 12 will be fulfilled again, that we may draw water with joy from the well of salvation, not timidly and with trembling, but with joy in the certainty of faith that God stands by his word and is only waiting for our faith to grow, so that he can do what he has promised. Beloved, I do not say this lightly. I say it out of conviction. I believe that we are a small part of the great first fruits chosen by God before the foundation of the world. And I believe that God has given us the privilege of receiving every word in us, affirming it with an amen. For thus it is written in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. And the word by us in 2 Corinthians 1 is very important. Most people do not read it or leave it out, and yet it is the most important part. If God did everything but we were not involved, I would have no benefit from it. But I want to participate, and we are allowed to participate. I read verse 20. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. By us. God needs a church through which he can reveal himself. God needs people through whom he can confirm his word. God needs people who dare to take him at his word in faith. And today that is us. And I believe it should not be difficult for us to believe the Lord, so that he can confirm and realize the promises that are yes and amen in him through us. Are you not glad that we have been included We are no longer strangers and guests on earth, yes, but we are citizens of God and members of His household. We have full citizenship in God. Our citizenship is in heaven, thus it is written, not on this earth. Paul writes to the Galatians, the Jerusalem above is the mother of us all. Beloved, God has done great things. Only a few throughout the ages have listened to and paid attention to what God has promised and done. And through this, it became manifest who believes in God and who does not. General belief can be found everywhere. Who today does not believe that God had Moses and Abraham and that much happened in the time of Christ and in the days of the apostles? Who does not believe that there was a Reformation and much more? That is easy. Many can believe that. The question is, who can believe what God has promised for this time? Who sees it? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who is, not sometime 20 or 50 years ago, but who lives today at the level spiritually according to the progress that time is making as it moves towards completion? With God's help, we will talk about this tonight. Let us all pray more fervently than ever before and ask God that He may speak and work as freely as He wishes, that we may not stand in His way, but be at His disposal. And let us do so in faith, knowing that He is faithful. He will give us what we need and bring us up to date in the kingdom of God. To Him, the Almighty God, who redeemed us in Christ our Lord, to Him the Father, who became our Savior in the Son, let us offer glory and praise. We are what God has made us, not what sin and the devil have made us. No, that no longer applies. We are redeemed. God has graciously accepted us, and we may be His own. As the first fruits, He has made His name known to us, revealed His mysteries to us. Yes, He has revealed Himself to us. For this we are grateful. In my heart, there is worship and praise, and I hope that the same is found in every heart, that in this hour we truly give glory with one voice to our Lord, our God, for what He has already done for us. And we have confidence that what is yet to come is already here. We just haven't accepted it and experienced it yet. From God's side, everything is ready for us to receive and live out, so that our Lord may be honored and glorified. To Him be the praise, now and forever. Amen. Let us stand. We bow our heads in prayer. At that time, the Lord asked Peter, "Do you love me? Do you love me more than these?" And he replied, "Yes, Lord, I love you." And the second time, "Do you love me?" And then a third time, "Do you love me?" Then came the answer, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love thee." Today, we are asked, and Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. He says, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. In this divine love, we are to love one another as God has loved us. John writes that we are to lay down our lives for our brothers. So intimate, so complete should love be. Recently, a brother who is here today said to me, he said, Brother Frank, I would have given my life for you. Perhaps he was referring to the years or days when things were a little difficult and challenging for me. But I was so overwhelmed that a brother would say to me, I was willing to give my life for you. It was the first time I had ever heard such words, but it shows how deep God's love can be. I did the same thing once at Brother Brennan's funeral. I was ready to give my life if he could have his back. There are moments in our lives when God's love permeates us, and that is real. It did not arise from deliberation, but in a situation where there was no other way. Beloved, the question today is, have we only sung, preached, and talked about love? Or do we want to practice it? Do we want to do as he commanded us? Love one another as I have loved you. Receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. The middle wall of partition is broken down. What separates us no longer exists. It is no longer there. If it is still there, the enemy has had a hand in it. Jesus, as we have read in Colossians and Philippians, has removed what divides us, torn up the letter of requirements, and we have become near to him, united, transformed into peacemakers. May God grant us grace, so that wherever we are, we may be blessed by God, consecrated to him, available to him, used by him, and become a blessing to others. These gatherings are not there so that one person can preach to another or interpret scripture. These gatherings are for us to hear God's word together and use the time in between to move the words in our hearts and keep them, to reflect on them and thank God for them. There is a word, probably in the prophet Micah, he who is wise in this time keeps silent. May God grant us the grace to know when and where to speak, when and where to be silent, so that we may truly be a people blessed by God. We have a desire not only to be believers, we want God to have his way with us, and we also want to come into the right that God has granted us, namely into possession of all that he has promised us. May all of God's promises, which are yes and amen in him, come to fruition through us, so that God may be honored and glorified as his word is fulfilled and confirmed. Let us worship together, perhaps raising our hands and singing Just As I Am. Heavenly Father, I thank you from my heart for this service we are allowed to have in your presence. We are aware, O God, that we are gathered before your face, and we ask you, O God, to take everything from us, every self-life, every double life, everything that is not in conformity with you and your word. Take it from us. Bring us into complete harmony with you through the power of your word, through the power of your blood, and through the power of your Spirit. Beloved Lord, turn away all other spirits, banish even the pious, religious spirits. May your Spirit alone reign in our midst, and your will be done, your word be confirmed, and your name be honored. Beloved Lord, may your people be newly consecrated to you. May they be a people set apart for you, a people sanctified by you, proclaiming the virtues of the one who has called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Beloved Lord, when we look at ourselves, we are the poorest, the most miserable, the weakest, the most powerless on earth. But you have chosen what is nothing in the eyes of the world, so that glory may be given not to man, but to you alone. O Lord, I praise you, I thank you. You have hidden it from the wise and prudent, but revealed it to us. Praised and glorified be your wonderful and holy name. Sanctify this place, sanctify your people, and bless us from the riches of your grace. In Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And all the people say, Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise be to the Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.